Welcome back to the Make Money Making Videos podcast. Today we are doing how to find a cheap film camera, and it is tough, by the way, to find a cheap film camera, but I'm going to be telling you the key aspects you need to look for in said cheap film camera, and then share some strategies on how you can go about finding a cheaper one. But shout out to D. Cooper. D. Cooper says how to find a cheap film camera, and he said that in response to me asking my audience for some suggestions for videos. So shout out to D. Cooper. If you guys want your comment featured at the beginning of my video, suggest a worthwhile topic that I can, you know, do the video on, and then you get your comment on the screen type of thing like that. But today, we're jumping into it. We are jumping into the how to pick a cheap film camera. Now, there's one key tagline I want to start today's video with that might contradict the title, sort of. Buy it nice or buy it twice. That right there is a powerful saying that you should apply to buying technology every single time, because a lot of the times, almost 99.9% of the time, it is the case that if you do not buy it nice, aka put the money down that it's worth, you're probably gonna have to replace it sooner than you know would have if you just forked out that extra money in the, you know, first place to get the proper good product, opposed to getting kind of like a cheaper version, then having to replace it later on, which probably ends up costing the same amount of money by buying two products, even though it's split over a long period of time, opposed to just buying a really nice one up front. So I know that kind of contradicts me saying and going about trying to find you a cheap film camera, but unfortunately that is the case. Now, the way I would suggest to you to actually get yourself a cheap film camera, which is not what I necessarily did, and I'm kind of skeptical about giving advice that I personally didn't take, but this is very practical, so I'm going to give it. And my advice to you to find a cheap film camera would be to buy refurbished. I bought my Sony a6300 completely brand new, but in retrospect, I do wish I got an even better camera than the Sony a6300, even though it is a phenomenal camera, hands down. But I probably could have gotten a better one if I had just been kind of more in the market for a refurbished used camera. Now, if you're buying used electronics, I know I just said buy it nice or buy it twice, but that is my strategy to get around the buy it nice or buy it twice, because you can still kind of buy it nice by buying a better camera than you could have in your, you know, budget that you have for a brand new one, but you could still get yourself a nicer one, but always test out the product first. If you're buying used electronics, every time you want to test everything out, fluently. But what you should look at in terms of the actual specs of your said cheap film camera or whatever sort of film camera you're going to be grabbing, these are the kind of most important things I would keep an eye on. Videography is almost secondary to my video editing. I'm mainly a freelance video editor. That's what makes me the most money, to be honest. And I've only been doing videography for a few years properly. You know, I've been filming videos since I was a kid, but I've only been doing this properly for a while, so tell me if I missed anything. But these are what I would pinpoint as the key things you want to look for in terms of getting yourself a cheap film camera. But like I said, call me out if I'm wrong or I missed certain things. But to me, the top of the list is the aperture. The aperture, aka the f-stop, is going to be how much light is let into your lens. And this is going to, you know, make your footage either really, staticky and noisy when it's dark, or really nice and crisp when it's dark. And, if you don't have the highest aperture, or the lowest aperture rather, you're kind of going to be needing to bump the ISO up, stuff like that, and you can be losing quality and overall making it more noisy and kind of pixelated. So I would make sure your aperture /f-stop is as low as it can be. For example, f1.8 or f1.4 is kind of like right in the sweet zone. If you can get f1.8, great. If you can get f1.4, even better. If you don't know what that is, do a quick Google. Honestly, that's a very important statistic to kind of keep in mind in terms of getting a film camera, is the aperture pretty low? Now, next up is slow motion. Maybe not, this right here is not in order, to be honest, because I don't know if slow motion would have been the most important thing next to, aperture, but slow motion, hands down, extremely important. You want to look for ideally 60 FPS slow motion. My Sony a6300 does 120 FPS slow motion, which means it's 4 times slow, which is cool, but it's almost a little bit too slow. I usually end up speeding it up 2 times in post-production to make it, 60 FPS, because, base standard is 30 FPS, slash 24 FPS, 24 slash 30, times 2 would obviously be about 60, which, 60 FPS slow-mo is kind of the sweet zone where you have 2 times, so it's just you know, half as slow. But 120 FPS, pretty dope as well. Basically, get yourself a, some built-in slow motion, 100%. You don't want to be having to slow down normal speed footage. It just doesn't look near as nice as actual built-in slow motion. So definitely built-in slow motion. And of course, if you get a film camera in 2018 or 2019, most people are probably watching this video now. Fuck it, even 2020. 4K has to be there, obviously. If you're getting a film camera, it's going to be built in. At this point, you'd have to go out of your way to get a camera that does not have 4K. So pretty confident whatever camera you get will have 4K. 4K, very, very important. You can do a lot more in the post-production process with 4K. I just did a video explaining that whole scenario a couple days ago called How to Frame Your Shots Perfectly. Really useful tip that you can shoot in 4K, cut your projects down to 1080p, have a lot more leverage in the post-production process, be able to move stuff around a little bit more. Make sure you got a powerful image sensor, okay, on your camera. A powerful image sensor is going to be able to just make things a little bit less, noisy, stuff like that. You'll be able to crank the ISO up a little bit higher than normal. For example, if you got a camera with bad image sensor built in, say you put the ISO up, it's going to get more noisy quicker. So say you've only got the ISO on 1000 on a camera with a good image sensor, it's not going to look pixelated at all. You got the ISO up on 1000 on a camera with not a good image sensor in the dark, for example, it's going to look super pixelated, super noisy, and just staticky and just not very good quality at all. So a good image sensor, extremely, extremely, extremely important. Finally, good autofocus. You know, you got a lot of cameras these days with pretty bad autofocus. The Sony a6300, I don't know what I would say about the autofocus. I would say the continuous autofocus mode on my Sony a6300 is really good. That's the best mode for autofocus, but still it does look pretty messed up a little bit. In certain cases, I probably would like the autofocus to be a little bit more quick, I guess, or not even quick, maybe even a little bit more smooth where it kind of just doesn't flicker. You know, you kind of get that flicker with certain autofocuses, but you want to obviously have the option to go auto or manual, and having good, smooth, continuous autofocus stuff that, you're not going to be having that flicker, which I was kind of just describing, which is unfortunate. But again, good autofocus and, just 100% the ability to change between autofocus and manual, so you can get that depth of field look with the manual, and then obviously the autofocus where you can have whatever you want, kind of autofocusing, and the autofocus mode usually has full frame, kind of everything's, in focus. But that right there is my suggestion for getting yourself a cheap film camera. Buy it nice or buy it twice, but if you do want to grab yourself something on the cheaper side, maybe get it refurbished, or used. But again, if you are going to go through that strategy, that kind of alleyway, if you will, test it 100%. Don't buy it, try before you buy every time if you're buying used technology. And, ideally don't buy used technology, but to get your money's worth right off the front, right off the bat, you are probably going to need to get yourself a refurbished. But it depends what your definition of cheap is, because one person's definition of cheap might be $1,000, right? Which, for film cameras, that is actually pretty cheap. My Sony a6300, $1,000. But if your definition of cheap is only about $300 or $200, you know what I mean? You will have to upgrade that. I'll be totally honest. You will eventually have to upgrade that. All right, thank you guys for finishing another episode of the Make Money Making Videos podcast. By all means, give me some feedback over on the YouTube comment page telling me if you're actually transitioning to listening to the podcast, the audio version, more than the visual version. Obviously, you could do more. You could actually be working and listening to this. You could be walking the dog listening to this. You could be doing any number of things listening to this. It's much more time efficient. Tell me if this is working out for you. Thank you for watching.